This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Reagan Mertz, here with your top stories this Tuesday. Construction on a new hotel in Aspen is underway on the corner of Cooper Avenue and Original Street. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson has more on the project.
Site prep for the new Base Lodge Hotel began at the site across from City Market in mid-May. That's after the former Buckhorn Arms building was demolished. The new project is a 19,000-square-foot, three-story hotel with one story of underground parking served by a car lift. It will have 38 rooms, a restaurant and bar, and a rooftop deck. The building was once home to Johnny Maguire's, Bamboo Bear, and Domino's Pizza. It has been closed since 2021. Mark Hunt is the Aspen developer leading the project, and the city issued him the permit on May 11th this year. The anticipated construction timeline is 30 months from the onset of construction. That does not include demolition or the ongoing site preparation, according to the city. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Lucy Peterson.
Dr. Angel Cabrera will be the Aspen Institute's next president and CEO. The announcement was made yesterday. Dr. Cabrera currently serves as president of the Georgia Institute of Technology. He's led major educational institutions across both the United States and Europe, developing new research centers in artificial intelligence, neuroscience, and space. He's also the first person born in Spain to serve as president of an American university. Cabrera, who was a speaker at the Aspen Ideas Festival in 2019, will start at the Aspen Institute on November 1st. Outgoing president and CEO Dan Porterfield announced his resignation in February. His last day will be July 2nd. Maria Isabel will serve as interim president and CEO between July 3rd and October 31st. She's the Aspen Institute's executive vice president for strategy and corporate secretary. Aspen Ideas Health and the Aspen Ideas Festival kick off next week. Aspen Public Radio will broadcast select sessions. In regional news, Senate Republicans have come up with a new way to try and repeal the roadless rule by attaching it to a bill designed to make it easier for federal agencies to work on forest management and wildfire mitigation. It was adopted in 2001 to protect millions of acres of undeveloped national forest from commercial timber harvesting and to preserve wildlife habitat and watersheds. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
Utah Republican Mike Lee, who chairs the Senate Natural Resources Committee, proposed an amendment to the bill, nullifying the roadless rule. Republicans say it hampers firefighting access, even though the majority of fires are started near roads. Martin Heinrich, a New Mexico Democrat and the committee's ranking member, says he thinks this reduces the possibility of an otherwise standard wildfire prevention bill becoming law.
Whether you're from Oregon or Washington or Montana or New Mexico or Colorado, we're all struggling with wildfire prevention. This turned that bipartisan effort into a deeply partisan lightning rod.
Last summer, Lee attached a provision to the federal spending package, mandating that the BLM and Forest Service sell millions of acres of public lands. The proposal sparked widespread bipartisan backlash and did not become law. Heinrich says he believes the roadless rule will be a major battle this Congress. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Lee's amendment and the bill passed along party lines to go before the full Senate. The National Congress of American Indians, or NCAI, is holding its mid-year convention this week. At the conference, indigenous leaders from across the country are discussing critical issues facing tribes, including mining and federal funding cuts. The Mountain West News Bureau's Daniel Spaulding has more.
NCAI is a national nonprofit organization that represents tribes and indigenous people across the U.S. The conference comes amid concerns about federal funding cuts, threats to tribal sovereignty, and tensions between indigenous people and the government over immigration enforcement. At the convention, which is held in Memphis, Tennessee this year, regional groups, including the Rocky Mountain Caucus, the Southwest Caucus, and the Western Caucus, will meet to discuss key issues facing tribes in those areas. Tribal governance and the relationship with federal and state agencies will be a major topic of discussion. Special group meetings like the Climate Action Task Force and the Native Languages Task Force will also take place. The convention runs through Wednesday. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Daniel Spaulding.
New research looks at what happens to local economies after dams are removed from western rivers. The debate is especially active in the Lower Snake River, where four major dams are tied to salmon recovery. Those who want to keep the dams say they provide hydropower and support agriculture, and warn removal could disrupt nearby economies. The nonprofit research group Headwaters Economics analyzed 24 dam removals across the country, including one in southern Colorado. They found little evidence of lasting economic harm after dams came down. Here's lead researcher Megan Lawson.
Our idea of where our jobs come from is based in sometimes history, sometimes mythology, and doesn't necessarily reflect where economies are today.
She says that in places like the Lower Snake River, economies are driven by local government, manufacturing, and healthcare. In statewide news, ballots for the primary election are hitting mailboxes around Colorado this week. As voters consider their options, Ray Solomon checked in with some in rural parts of the state.
Becky Baker is a Republican from rural Platteville. When it comes to the GOP governor's primary, she's torn between Victor Marks, a self-described high-risk humanitarian, and State Senator Barbara Kirkmeyer.
I think Kirkmeyer is better known. I think she has a better chance of winning, so I don't want to throw my vote away, although I think Marks would be a better candidate. He's a very strong MAGA.
In our southeast in Strasbourg, unaffiliated voter John Iannone says he votes for people, not parties.
You know, I don't want to be affiliated with anyone, really, especially Trump, because, you know, I kind of agree with some of his positions, but I also agree he's a bit of a jerk.
He just wants to support candidates that support the farming community.
Small towns don't get the same support that, like, Denver gets.
Both will have a chance to weigh in during the June 30th primary.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Colorado hemp growers are facing a difficult season as historically dry conditions take a toll on crops across the state. Brian Kuntz is the Industrial Hemp Program Manager for the Colorado Department of Agriculture. He says the drought, along with uncertainty around new federal hemp regulations, is adding to growers' concerns.
Coupled with uncertainty about federal regulation, there's also the worst drought, one of the worst droughts in history. And we had one of the driest winters, I think the driest winter in history. So just that alone has indicated that crops in general will be two-thirds of what they were last year.
The new federal hemp regulations, which many in the industry say would effectively ban many hemp products, are scheduled to take effect in November. A new museum in Pueblo displays models of functional and fantastical machines designed by the famed 15th century artist Leonardo da Vinci. KRCC's Shauna Lewis reports.
Just off the historic Arkansas Riverwalk in a wing of the Pueblo Convention Center, there are all kinds of ingenious wooden devices, a library containing beautifully printed copies of Da Vinci's notebooks, and more. Joe Arrigo leads the new Leonardo da Vinci Museum of North America.
Da Vinci did not separate art from other subjects. If he was working in architecture or botany, whatever his subject was, he was a polymath.
Arrigo says the museum's mission is to ignite curiosity, creativity, and exploration, especially for children. He says the nonprofit museum has raised about $2 million from donors and grants. But now Pueblo City Council is considering using about $1.8 million from its economic development funds for the project. In Pueblo, Shauna Lewis, KRCC News.
The Da Vinci Museum of North America is now open. The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team, News Director Hallie Zander, Associate Editor Sage Smiley, reporters Michael Finelli and Hannah Weaver, and me, your host, Reagan Mertz. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.